You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Allison Renborg in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you are listening to the monthly Equine Affair episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 19th. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, Horse World.
It's the third Thursday of the month. That means it's time for the Equine Affair episode, North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering.
Hey, Allison, so good to talk to you again on our monthly visit here.
Yes, it's always my favorite time of the month.
Well, I heard you have some fantastic news for everybody in Massachusetts coming up here in November.
I do. So this is a time of year where we're rapidly getting everything together and putting bows on things and confirming things and pulling clinicians out of the air. But I can say this, this will make a lot of people very happy. The Donkey Extravaganza is officially coming to Massachusetts. Yay! Confetti!
Donkeys
drum roll.
In New England. New England donkeys. Christmas,
yes,
donkeys.
Christmas donkeys. Get your to Massachusetts.
That's
is
right.
My slogan for
it. You know, it is appropriate that you have donkeys there at Christmas time. That's appropriate. It's biblical. It's perfect.
I was about to be like, why is it appropriate?
Because it's biblical. Donkeys, Christmas, all of that.
Yes.
You know? Perfect.
Yes.
Good job.
Hey, Mary rode a donkey. You
That's
can,
right.
too.
You can, too. I don't think you'll ride him in Massachusetts, necessarily, but you can probably adopt one. They'll probably have some there for adoption.
Yes, we will have donkeys for adoption. We'll have vendors selling donkey merchandise. It'll have its own little demo ring with educational sessions. We're hoping to get a few of the people who presented in Ohio. I have my fingers crossed in particular for the donkey farrier. I'm really hoping she comes. Megan Hensley, we talked to her on the show, but I can't announce anything officially. But yes, it will be every bit as fun as the one in Ohio, maybe even more fun because it's biblically appropriate.
That's correct.
When can you ever say that?
Well, a little later in the show, too, we have something coming up for our Morgan listeners who love Morgans. And I know we have quite a few of those. So we're going to have a special treat for you with the guest we have coming up. And we're also going to hear a little bit about horse feed later in the show. So we have a lot planned for you today. And we want you to hang on. But before we get into the horsey stuff, you did something. And you know, everybody knows how I like period dramas. And, you know, I acted in an acting company that did medieval stuff. You did something that was kind of cool and movie-like.
I sure did. It was a bucket list thing for me and my husband. So a few years ago, we heard about this place out in East Tennessee called Ancient Lore Village, that it was going to be Lord of the Rings themed Airbnb was sort of the slogan. And we were waiting with like bated breath to see if it would even come to existence. Would it happen? Because, you know, people have cool ideas and then nothing happens. And then they started accepting guests for stays, I want to say a year or two ago. And then finally, we'd been meaning to go and we hadn't made it happen. And then we just had our 13th wedding anniversary. And so Ryan said, hey, we're going to go to Ancient Lore Village for a night. So we got to literally run away to Middle Earth for a night. It's in Knoxville, Tennessee. And it is literally some guy's brainchild. He just decided, I want to build the Shire pretty much in East Tennessee in the Smokies. And that's what he did.
And are you staying in like little elven hobbit houses and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, there are underground hobbit houses with circular doors. They have plants growing on the roof. So they have a bunch of those. And then they have elven tree houses. We stayed in one of the elven tree houses.
Was that cool?
It was so cool because it was actually circular. And we had a kind of a mountain view. So we got to see the mountains and we had round windows that we could look out. It was
so
fantastic.
Cool.
And everybody who worked there was dressed up. I would call it in like Ren Faire light. you know? And there were no accents, unfortunately, but it was really cool. And we got to shoot bows and arrows and throw axes. And it was gorgeous scenery and gardening and just cool. Absolutely transportive.
I never heard of this place before, but I'm looking at the pictures right now. The website is ancientlorevillage.com. And Knoxville, Tennessee, kind of got the mountains there too, so that helps.
It helps so much. You guys definitely should go if you can. It was, people get married there. Like when we were there, I was like, oh man, this would be a fabulous place to get married, to do a vow renewal, to shoot a movie. And then I was like, why don't they have horses yet? So somebody out there who wants to run like a period bar, you know, riding lesson, riding, trail riding thing needs to go pitch it to Ancient Lore Village and run it so that I can come ride a pony.
So did they have food? Is like food included or do they have food?
Yes, they have a restaurant there. And our package, we actually got to have dinner and then they brought breakfast to our room and it was really good.
So is this elven food? What did they eat? I forget what they ate.
No, it wasn't elven food. It was good. Like, it was more like Shire food. So like the good stuff. It was like pasta and chicken and salad and some really delicious cheesecake. And then the breakfast, you definitely feel like you ate like a hobbit. It was a very substantial breakfast. So good.
Wow. Wow. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
How cool
And a lot of the guests dressed up. We didn't, although Ryan did wear his kilt the second day, naturally.
Did he?
You got to. But they have hiking trails, too. And they had like a fun little contest with a golf. It was like a golfing thing. So the whole thing's on the side of a big ridge. And we had noticed like a pond kind of across a little hollow with a hole-in-one thing, and we didn't really think much of it because I don't care about golf. But then we heard somebody in the guest shop buying balls, and apparently you could buy a ball and try to shoot it into a bucket, and if you made it into the bucket in the pond across the hollow, you got a free night stay or something like that. So we got to watch a pair of Japanese tourists, actually, who had come all the way from Japan, try to shoot and get a free night stay.
That's funny.
It was pretty funny to watch, and people were cheering them on. I don't think he made it, unfortunately, but it got really close. So yeah, just a fun place. So if you love Dungeons and Dragons or Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones, even, I think it would be right up your alley if you want something unique and different.
Yeah, it looks like they have different events too, like movie nights and, you know, mm-hmm. all kinds of different stuff. But this cost them a little bit to build.
Yeah, and I was curious, as I'm sure everybody would be, like, where did the money come from for this? Because it's not just that it looks good from the outside. The inside, down to the little details, down to the light fixtures, like, everything was perfect and so cool and so authentic. And I was just like, this costs money, man. So I did a little digging on the person who built it, and his name is Tom Boyd. And I think he described himself as serial entrepreneur. He had started like 17 businesses, but one of them was like a biomed pharmacy thing or lab. And so it's that lab money. And then he also, and this is funny, he has a business called Pooh Prince, P-O-O, Prince, as in Paul Prince.
Yeah.
And it's a pet waste removal or recycling or something to do with dog waste business. And apparently that's brought him enough money that he
could spend millions on this place.
Yes, exactly. And I was doing this research over breakfast. And so when I got to the pet waste part, I was like, I think I'm going to stop now and just enjoy my breakfast. And I haven't gone back to look at it. But yeah, so that's how it all came to be. Dog poop. Yay. I don't know.
Knoxville's a cool town anyway. I mean, it's a cool place. I like Knoxville.
Yeah, my husband was born there. So
oh,
it was really
right?
fun. Yes, Ryan was born in Knoxville. Huh. So
There's lots to do in Knoxville, too. I mean, there's a whole, but it's kind of an upcoming town. You know, the art scene and all that stuff is growing like crazy in Knoxville.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you've got Dollywood. So, like, everywhere you look, there were Dolly shirts.
I bet there were.
Oh, yeah. Dolly for president. Everything Dolly.
Yeah.
You know, she's a celebrity in these here parts, so
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, there's your recommendation for if you want a truly unique experience. It's not cheap. It's like, what, $350 a night I'm seeing here.
It was a splurge. That's why we only stayed one night.
Go for your anniversary and, you know, have some fun. Stay a night or two. Well, that's cool. Well, you know, a cruise will cost you that a night. So, you know, it's just a cruise on land in the mountains.
Some people go on cruises. Some people go spend the night in an elven treehouse. You know, different strokes.
So, right, speaking of tickets, they're coming on sale soon for Massachusetts, right?
Yes, they are July 9th, guys. So not too far away, July 9th. So if you want those really good seats, if you're if you have to see Fantasia from this one box place, go ahead and go buy your Fantasia tickets that first day because they go fast. The good seats start going. They start flying off the shelves. But you can also get your general admission, your four-day passes, anything you want. You can purchase as early as 9 a.m. Eastern on July 9th.
Very good. What do you say we talk about some Morgans?
Let's talk about Morgans. It was so cool to talk to Heather. Heather is amazing, and you're going to love her.
Well, our next guest is Heather Smith, and she is the owner of Brook Hill Morgans in Dayton, Maine. Heather raises quality old-type Lippitt Morgan stock, and she plays a big role in the Lippitt Morgan Club. She's also a big part of why they come to Equine Affair every year. She's doing some really cool stuff with genetics and registry database and all of that stuff. So we're going to welcome Heather to the show and learn more about the Lippitt Morgan. So hi, Heather. Welcome
hi
to the show.
There. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. This is cool stuff.
Yeah, well, you're awesome. You do all kinds of cool stuff, and I can't wait to dive into the Morgan. But first, tell us a little bit about you. Why Morgans? How did you come to own, I think, 19 Morgans? How did you come to do this?
Oh, my husband's going to kill me for having said that publicly. It's been in my blood all of my life. I grew up as a pony clubber. A neighbor moved in next door with a beautiful Morgan mare. They saw an advertisement for a Lippitt Morgan stallion in one of the magazines. And as part of that transaction to have her bred to the stallion, they ended up coming home with a yearling Lippitt Morgan colt. And that was, oh gosh, 40 years ago. And it's just been in my blood ever since. I love all horses, all Morgans, but this particular bloodline really stole my heart, and I'm no regrets. It's been incredible.
And you dragged your husband into it, or
I did. The poor guy. Yes, I did.
Was he a horse guy before he met you? Or?
Oh goodness, no.
Okay. Well, darn it, Glenn's going to be so mad that he's not here to tease you about that because he's America's horse husband, so he always wants to hear about the horse husbands. So. All right, 40 years of being with you and horses, what does he think about it now?
He loves it, actually. I think he really fell in love with the senior stallion that we unfortunately lost last summer. He was incredibly versatile, so much fun. And the enthusiasm that, you know, I could hear my husband talking to people about him and everything that he was able to accomplish. And it was just immense pride. Both very lucky to have that horse in our lives. And his bloodlines carry on now. So, yeah, good stuff.
And that's part of the magic of it, right? You lose them, but then if you're lucky enough, you have the genetics to pass on.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Very fortunate.
So let's kind of talk about what is the difference between a Morgan and a Lippitt Morgan for our audience. What does that mean?
So the Lippitt Morgan is a family within the Morgan breed. They all are registered Morgan horses with AMHA or the Canadian registry. There are also a few international registries as well, all across the world. And believe it or not, the Lippitts are as well. There are some, I think, in Australia and Sweden.
That's cool.
Which is incredible. And we've actually had visitors come to our small show that we do in August in Vermont as far as from Australia, which was really neat to meet those folks and talk about what they're doing there. But the Lippitt itself is said to be the most original pure bloodlines going back to the Justin Morgan, the founding. So with the fewest outcrosses, if you will, there were times where the AMHA was, I think, struggling a little bit with their numbers and were allowing outcrosses to other breeds. This group of horses, which some folks in Vermont in the 70s, They actively went out and did searches for what they felt were the most pure bloodlines, ended up forming the Lipit Club, which is one that I work an awful lot with, and a few others as well, and just trying to preserve those lines. And the club is still very active. The enthusiasm is incredible. It's really great. It's really great.
Well, and the Morgan, I think I could probably speak for almost everyone. Every horse-loving kid probably read Marguerite Henry and probably read the Justin Morgan Had a Horse.
Exactly. You know, the old Disney movie. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
So the Morgan is sort of, you know, just like you think about American horses, you think about the Morgan and this hardy little horse. And so it's cool to hear that there are horses around that trace directly back to that horse. And that's what the Lipit's all about.
Yeah.
So where did the Lipit part, where does that name come from? Was there a family, like a Lipit family, or?
There was a gentleman named Robert Lipit Knight who grew up in, well, I should say he's from Rhode Island. He had a farm in Randolph, Vermont. And at one point he was given the opportunity to purchase a number of the original foundation horses that the club had, or this group of folks had collected. And in memory of him and all of his efforts to try to preserve those lines, actually my mentor, his name was Lester Welch, was one of the primary breeders of these horses at the time. He worked for Mr. Knight and was very involved with some of the training of these original horses. He asked Mr. Knight if we could borrow the name, and it stuck. So it's been the tagline ever since.
That's an incredible legacy to leave behind.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then I understand you're a little bit of a historian. So let's talk about, well, I don't know, what's the best way to get into it? So maybe we start with the registry database hub that you've put together, but then also talk about you have a fire safe boxes full of memorabilia. So I don't know, let's dive in.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
I've had the incredible fortune because of these horses to meet some really amazing people, and the history behind these horses, the things that they have gathered, they have obliged to me to preserve. And the Lipit Club themselves also has their own archive as well. But stacks and stacks of photos, videos that I'm working on converting to be able to post on YouTube to share with the world. Just some incredible information. And, you know, these folks may not have had the opportunity or the technology back then to be able to share it with the world, but we do now. So much easier to do it that way. And in part, that was part of why I worked on building out this database hub, because not only can we use that for researching of bloodlines, but also sharing photos. My daughter and I are working on it every day to upload new photos of these horses so people can take a look. It's free to anyone that might be interested in looking at it. Easy to use. You name it, it can do it. You can do what ifs. If you have a stallion that you're interested in breeding to a particular mare, you could go in there and create a, you know, I want this horse to have these bloodlines, and you can take a look at it on paper and see if it's, you know, if that's what you're trying to accomplish and how does it compare with maybe another cross. So it's just, I was enamored with it in talking or looking at All Breed Pedigree, which I'm sure most folks are familiar with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a software service that they offer. And they were very kind to be able to help me download a database of that information. And I work with AMHA's registrar, Erica. She provides us with reports on a quarterly basis, and we can take updates from there. And we also rely on all of our friends through social media. And of course, everyone's out there bragging about the beautiful babies born, and we load that information up in the photos, and it's there for all to see. So it's nice to have a good resource.
And it's online, and it's at lipitmorganregistry.com, right?
Correct. Yes, correct.
And anybody can do this. I'm clicking on it now.
Ooh. Awesome.
That's very cool. So you can upload photos, you can do videos, you can do stories. So it's almost like a communal historic
hub. That's the hope. Yes, absolutely. And try to share some of this information that folks have been kind enough to share with me. It's not doing any good in my cellar. So,
well, and speaking as a, well, I'm kind of a journalist at heart. I wrote full time for years for horse magazines, but this is sort of like a horse journalist's dream right here, what you're doing, putting all this information out there so that someone can dig deeper and learn more about not just the breed, but also the people and the horses that have helped form it.
Fantastic. I'm so glad to hear you say that. That's the goal.
And this is something you're doing just out of a passion project, right? You're not
exactly. Yes.
That's really cool.
I have had some support from some other Lippet owners that have offered to just, you know, help for the annual costs and whatnot. But no, this is all, it's a passion of mine. It's in my blood. It's not going away.
That's amazing. I love that. I love you're doing that. Thank you for doing that. That's so cool.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to have to spend some time playing with this later.
Yes, please do. Please do.
And we'll put the link in the show notes for any of our Morgan fans out there, too.
Oh, super. That's
great. To check it out.
Thank you.
And I love that there's a tool in there so that you can, like, play with the crosses and all of that.
Yes. Fantastic. And there are all the percentages in there. It's more than I've had a chance to even dig through, honestly.
Yeah. Now, you breed Morgans at your farm, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
So what do you look for when you're crossing horses? What are you hoping to produce at your farm?
I have a vision in my mind of what I think the original Justin Morgan looks like, or looked like, excuse me. And in my opinion, the Lippet Morgan is that family is the closest to that. It's kind of a joke for me, but I always say, you know, I like them short and fat because it's not as far to fall.
I admire that.
total respect. But so the average Lippet Morgan, I would say, is probably around 14.2 hands. Not big, but they don't know that. They make up for it in personality and enthusiasm. The stallion that we had, you name it, he did it. Riding, driving. We have one of his sons here now that a fellow Lippet owner allowed us to borrow for the season. The gal that trained him, she jumps with him. She does everything. We've both competed in galloping competitions, pulling, much like you would have seen in the Marguerite Henry story and the Disney movie. They do it all, and they do it well and beautifully. And they're the hardiest horses I think that I've ever dealt with. I've rode an awful lot of different ones when I was doing Pony Club. Anything I could get a saddle on, I would try. But these horses are we have a 34-year-old mare here that is still doing incredible. And she was the foundation of our breeding program. So we call her Grandma.
Well, and I saw a picture of her on your farm Facebook page not that long ago where she, you called her the lawnmower. She got out. And I had to go back and double check the caption because you said she was 34 there too. And I was stunned because aside from a little gray on her face,
yes.
She looks incredible.
She does. I'm very fortunate. She's a great gal. And she, even to this day, she's a great weanling babysitter for us. Aww. It works well. You know, the babies keep her going. They keep her moving. And she teaches them some things along the way, which is very important. So,
yes. So they're absolutely stunning horses. And I see a picture of your stallion that you lost. And he kind of looks like what I would picture as Justin Morgan, with that big expressive eye and that gorgeous face and just stunning little horses. So Morgans are special. And I always love to see the Lippet Club at Equine Affair. And you, I understand, are a part of why we get to see them there. So can you tell us a little bit about why do you guys choose to come and participate in the Breed Pavilion and the Horse and Farm exhibits?
Well, honestly, that's a really easy answer to give. Justin Morgan, the horse, was said to be born in Springfield, Massachusetts in 1700. So how perfect is it for us to be there? And the exposure is just, it's phenomenal. I've seen the benefits both personally with folks that have come to the farm afterwards to visit after seeing the horses there or talking to one of our volunteers at the booth. And you never know. The Lippets are, you know, obviously we're in the minor. We had, I think, a total of 30 foals born last year. So our numbers are small, but all the more reason for the importance to get out there and talk about them with people. We do have a good working relationship with American Morgan Horse Association. They usually have a booth right next to us, and they've become very good friends of ours as well. And we support one another. We've got to take care of each other. Right. And just, it's amazing. The folks that will stop by the booth and say, my dad had a, and they'll talk about the bloodlines, or they'll just want to skim through some of the photos that we share there. And we've had a lot of folks that have come to our show in Vermont as a result of visiting us there, or they've reached out to folks in their area looking for their very own lipid. We actually had a gal here, as a matter of fact, yesterday from New York that was in the area visiting and had met someone through the booth at Equine Affair. So not to buy a horse, but just to, you know, in the future perhaps, and just, you know, spread the good word and talk about them and see the differences, because they're definitely unique in their look and type and style, and they turn heads for that reason. So
yeah, well, and that's what the Breed Pavilion is all about. It's yes. all about making those connections, talking to people, and you guys usually have a phenomenal presentation with a lot of that history and memorabilia spread out there. And I yes. always enjoy walking past and seeing it. And I think I've taken pictures before
for
the Facebook and things. And it's fun to get involved, not just with this is a horse you can go show, but this is a horse you can learn about history with. You can
exactly.
see yes. the generation, see it go back and be part of carrying it forward. Because I mean, 30 foals in a year, that's not
it. Right.
That's not very much. That's
no.
And I mean, it would be so easy for that to kind of get snuffed out.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why it's so important for us to be there. And, you know, it's not necessarily a moneymaker for any group. Mm-hmm. I can say it isn't for us, but the exposure is tremendous, and that makes yeah. it worth it. And really, the camaraderie there too is so important as well. It's an opportunity for some of us here in New England to get together. That's a great benefit too. We actually had 10 lippets at Equine Affair this past awesome. Year. We were able to do 2 demonstrations and really show the versatility. Mm-hmm. I used to bring my stallion and we would do the pull just to show, because you don't see a lot of that, right? Unless you go to mm-hmm. a local fair near you to see that kind of thing. But we had horses jumping, driving, Western, English, you name it. And just to show, because that's what these horses really are. They can take you on Saturday to go to a horse show and do whatever, you know, versatility you'd like to see, and then go home and be your kid's pony for rides. And yeah. that's what I really love about them.
They can do anything.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think is, if a group or an organization or a breeder is on the fence about coming to present, what do you think they should think about if they wanted to come and be part of the Breed Pavilion?
I view it as, for me and for my counterparts that usually join, we really look forward to it. Not only the opportunity to see so many different kinds of horses, but talk to so many people, all the clinics, all of that is just incredible. And where else would you find all of those resources in one place? Mm-hmm. I know so many folks, and of course it's mostly ladies, mm-hmm. but they plan their vacations to be able to go to that event, and bringing the horses, it is a lot of work, but it's mm-hmm. great exposure too. It's fantastic exposure. We brought a weanling filly last year, and she's pretty bomb proof now because of it. You know, she got accustomed to that. We put her in one of the stalls next to the AMHA booth, and you know, she got to stand there and be hugged by all the little kids, and she was great and they loved it. It's just, you know, that small bit of exposure, I think, is just so important. You never know who you're going to touch mm-hmm. On a personal level with these horses, and they can do it for sure. You know, the finances and the economy, we're all against that, of course, mm-hmm. and it's a challenge, yeah. but we try, at least in the lipid world, we try not to look at this as a cash opportunity. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we do some sales and whatnot, but it's definitely more about looking at things long term and the longevity of these bloodlines, and we need more people, you know, to join us in that fight. So,
and it's those little kids that grow up to
oh
be
yes.
the next generation. Yes. Like that,
I was one of those, so I understand
yeah.
completely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what I think about when I'm there on the grounds. I'm usually running around like a chicken with my head cut off, you
yeah.
know, doing video and marketing and all of that. But like I see, the Breed Pavilion is one of my favorite places to visit, just personally, because I get to see the horses, but then I also get to see people like you talking to the next generation, because we know the horse industry. We want it to continue, but we got to keep pulling in new people and, you know, suckering the husbands and the dads. And the
Absolutely. And I drag my husband along, the poor guy.
We've got, but seriously, we have to pull in that new people, new generation, because the 5-year-old that meets a Lippitt Morgan like yours, Equine Affair today, is maybe the next person who inherits some of that memorabilia in 20 years or 30 years, and then is part of carrying on the breed, right?
Yeah, that's our hope, of course.
Yeah. So it is looking long-term and looking into the future, and a little bit of sacrifice sometimes is what we all have to do in the horse industry, but we want to see these horses carry on and do great things.
Yes, absolutely. I'm with you.
And then you told me before we got started about connection you made with Edelon Genetics that sort of helped your project. So let's talk a little bit about that real quick.
Absolutely. And that was totally happenstance, like you running around like crazy at the event. I didn't get to see an awful lot of things because I also run the demonstrations. But while we were setting up our booth, one of the gals from Edelon walked by and she stopped. And this is probably a good thing to have such a unique name as Lippitt. She stopped and said, "What is a Lippitt Morgan?" And that usually starts a conversation because people are like, "Is it a Lipizzan? What is it?" You know? And so it was a great conversation. And she said, you know, she was very curious to hear more. Ended up talking with her more throughout the week there. And she offered to do testing on one of the horses that we had brought. She did the testing, which is just really cool stuff. And especially for, you know, those of us that are trying to preserve some of these bloodlines before they disappear, to have that data, to have that information on hand is just so important. So I was able to connect with them. They are out in, I believe they're out in California. And so we ended up doing a webinar, which we were able to offer for free to any Lippitt folks that were interested and be able to give them discounts on testing for their horses, which I believe several folks have taken advantage of. And we'll be able to save some of that information as part of the registry hub as well. So and capsule all of that if we can. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Created a really cool partnership. Nice folks.
Well, and that's exciting too, that genetics, everything that they're doing with genetics, I mean, is just crazy, and the testing and all of that. And so what a nice way to put yet another layer into the history books, right?
Right.
Another, like going deeper, going molecular, as they say, molecular into the Morgan breed. That's cool.
Yeah.
So how can people learn more about your farm and then also learn more about the Lippitt Club?
Oh my goodness. I would say right now, social media is where it's at, I think, isn't it? And that's where we see the most traffic. I have a Facebook page for Brook Hill Morgans, and folks are welcome to visit there anytime. But there's also all kinds of other pages. There is the Lippitt Club itself has a page, and the Lippitt Morgan Breeders Association. Their focus is primarily on the breeders, which obviously we are in desperate need of. Any and all. The Lippitt Club is more generic, anyone that's, you know, just interested in learning more. And there's also another registry group out there that where the enthusiasm for these horses is huge. So, but Facebook is definitely the place to start. There is another page called We Love Lippitt, which has turned into an amazing resource for some of the historical information. And I've actually teamed up with one of the gals there that writes a lot of the articles, and she's given us permission to save those into the registry database as well. So that's where you see some of the stories that are stored there too. So they'll be preserved there as well as on the Facebook page. Yeah. Awesome. Good stuff.
We'll put all those links in the show notes too.
Super.
So people can find those. And when we post about the show, we'll tag all those pages. So if you guys want to learn more about Lippitts, Heather Smith is the girl to know. And we hope to see you guys at Equine Affair this fall too.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Keep your horse feeling their best with supplement brands you can trust, delivered right on time with Chewy Auto Ship. Never run out again with easy repeat deliveries on your schedule, and save big while you're at it. Get 40% off your first Auto Ship order of supplements for your horse with the code EQSUP. That's EQSUP at checkout. For your favorite brands for fast shipping, there's Chewy. Shop now at chewy.com/equine. Remember, that's chewy.com/equine. Use the code EQSUP if you're going to do an auto ship and get 40% off your first order. And now coming up, speaking of feed, we're going to be talking a little bit with one of our sponsors, Sentinel Horse Feed, about why their feed is a little different than everybody else's.
Well, our next guest is Kristen Sturkin, and she is the equine product manager with Sentinel Horse Feed. You have heard Sentinel on the show many times because they are one of our sponsors and we love them. So let's welcome Kristen to the show.
Thank you, Allison. Yeah, happy to be here.
Well, and I understand you're a longtime fan of ours. How long have you been coming to our Massachusetts show?
Since day one, the first equine affair in Massachusetts, I worked it with one other coworker, and now we have progressed to quite a few of our team members there. So I forget if it's 25 or 26 or more years. So.
She should get a pin or something, you know, a watch or something.
You need a pin.
Yeah. I need a pin. Yes, I'll wear it gladly.
Yes. I think we celebrated our 25th anniversary last fall, so this will be our 26th. Awesome. So yeah, you get a silver shiny pin. Well, and we love Sentinel Horse Feed around Equine Affair. We talk about you guys all the time because you sponsor our breed bonanza particularly. So thank you for that.
Yes.
But you're here today to tell us all about how Sentinel Horse Feed is so wonderful. So let's kind of dive in. Let's do a deep dive on horse feed. That sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. So for someone looking to start their horse on Sentinel extruded feed, and extruded is one of those, you know, buzzwords, we hear it a lot, but maybe we don't know what it means. But can you explain how that's different from pellets and other forms of feed that we might see?
Yes, sure. So for different forms, and extruded, especially compared to pelleted, I guess I'll focus on some things are similar and some things are different. For both an extruded and a pelleted feed, we take the same ingredients and they're ground and mixed together. But for an extruded feed, those ingredients are ground a little bit finer, and this helps with better digestibility. For both forms, say a extruded and a pellet, we then use moisture, heat, and some steam are used. But the added component for extruded feed is pressure. So think of extruding or an extruded feed as being like something you would pressure cook. That seems to be relatable, I think, to most horse owners. So as the formula goes of ingredients goes through what we call an extruder, that's how it got its name, they're forced through a die to determine the size and the shape. So the extruded nuggets are a little bit larger than a typical pellet, but they go through that extruder and through the die, and then the pressure is released once it comes out the other end and kind of hits the air, and they're rapidly cooled and they expand into a lower density nugget. So if you broke apart an extruded nugget, it would be very porous and light and airy compared to if you broke apart a pellet, it would be much more dense and you wouldn't see, you know, any like porous look to it. So the advanced cooking and cooling results in a very highly digestible nugget. And that brings a lot of, you know, nutritional and digestive benefits to the horse.
It's kind of like Rice Krispies. That's what I think of when I hold an extruded, a handful of extruded pellets rather than pellets. It feels like Rice Krispie treats.
If we'll talk in a little bit about, you know, the weight difference, but yeah, definitely light and airy compared to, you know, a pellet or, you know, some other forms of feed.
Yeah, they're fun to play with, the whole, like when, if you're a nerd and you're looking at feed samples like I sometimes do. So does it make it easier to digest? Can we talk about like why extruded? Does that help benefit the horse's digestive system in some way?
Absolutely. So there's a few things we would talk about. The pressure cooking or the extrusion, that heating and cooking increases the digestibility of especially the protein in that feed, as well as the starch. And I don't want people to think, oh, there's a lot of starch in the feed. Every feed's going to have a little bit of starch in it. But with that cooking, we get that starch digested where we want it to be digested in the horse's system. We want that starch digested in the stomach and the small intestine. We don't want that passed along to the hindgut to potentially, you know, cause or be a reason for gas colic. So the cooking helps with that because it breaks down the bonds sooner for starch as well as protein. And that overall increases the digestibility of those nutrients and the availability to the horse. They just get more out of an extruded feed than they would a typical pellet or textured feed. Research, you know, has been done on the starch digestibility, and we know that they're getting, you know, a lot more out of this form of feed.
It's almost like a little bit of a pre-digestion.
Oh, exactly.
Checkpoint.
Exactly. The other, and we've talked about that. That's the way we talk about it with, you know, some horse owners. Think of it as it's pre-digested, and then as soon as they take a bite of feed, the feed immediately starts to break down. And that was another key point with their system, is it really decreases the risk of feed related choke as well, because that nugget is very porous and light and airy, and the form, it starts to break down as soon as it hits the horse's saliva. And we have a pressure test that we do when we're like in person with horse owners, and a soaking test to show that how easily it breaks down. It doesn't clump together like maybe a pile of pellets would do when they get soaked or get wet. So this is what helps to prevent feed related chokes. And we just don't really see it with an extruded feed because it breaks down so easily.
Well, and that's so important when you have an elderly horse or a horse with teeth issues, like I have experienced choke. It is not fun. Yeah. So that's a really good thing to think about.
Yep.
From a practical standpoint, what are the factors that owners should think about if they want to transition from like a regular pellet to an extruded feed program like what Sentinel has?
Yeah. So the first thing that to keep in mind is, and we mentioned it, an extruded feed weighs significantly less than pellets, and also less than most textured feeds if somebody was to switch from a textured feed. So extremely important, no matter what, to weigh your feed, but really important, and I probably can't stress that enough, if you were going to switch from a pellet to an extruded feed. For example, we weigh a quart of all of our feeds. A quart of extruded feed weighs about 0.85 pounds. If we compared that to a quart of pellets, typically that would weigh about 1.4 pounds. So significantly different. It will take more scoops or quarts, depending on what the horse owner is using for a scoop, to equal the same weight of a pelleted feed. So that's one of the, you know, key factors is let's, you know, talk about how much they're currently feeding and then how much we want to transition to with an extruded feed and what that means in scoops or cups or coffee cans, whatever they're using. And we always want to keep in mind, you know, to make any type of transition slowly would be the key things.
Definitely slowly, and definitely feeding by weight is so mm-hmm. important. That got hammered into me in grad school and undergrad school when nutrition classes, always feed by weight, not by volume, because of exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So that's so important. And I love that you mentioned that, because I think that would be something anyone who's switching to Sentinel would need to think about. It's like, remember that key.
Yep.
Now, we could talk about this all day because I'm kind of a feed nutrition nerd, but I understand that you have a really powerful success story about a horse that has made the transition to extruded feed. And I was hoping you could share that with us.
Sure. So with the Sentinel extruded, we just get so many honestly unsolicited success stories, but we had one recent that came to us, and the woman started by saying, "Your Sentinel extruded feed saved my 26-year-old. It was a Appaloosa thoroughbred horse, and she went on to tell us about how over the last year this horse started and was at a body condition score of 2.5, which for you and I, we know that's super skinny. And over the course of about a year, that horse is now up to a body condition score of 5. At the time, the horse, when she first, right before she switched to Sentinel, the horse had choked 4 times over a two-week period. And she, at that point, was looking for, to make some changes. She switched to our Sentinel Senior product along with an extruded high fat product that we have as well, our Sentinel Omegatin. And the before and after pictures are just phenomenal. So that was just a very recent one that we got, and just thought it was a great one to share. But we have lots of comments that come in and just say this extruded feed was the miracle feed for our horse. So that's one of the favorite parts of my position at Sentinel, is just hearing the success stories with this form of feed.
Well, and that's huge, because you're saving lives and you're saving stress and you're saving money.
Yeah.
And I mean, but choke is like just one of those terrifying horse owner experiences, because you can't fix it on your own. You have to do the vet. You have to. Yep. And it feels so time intensive. So I love that story.
So it's a fun one.
Yeah.
To hear. Yeah.
So how can people learn more about feeding Sentinel? How can they learn more about the product?
Any horse owner, encourage them to go to feedsentinel.com/trusted that takes you right to, information on all of the Sentinel feeds. We have a great feed finder on there that will help the horse owner. And we're always happy to talk directly with the consumer as well, that you can reach out to us via the website.
Well, wonderful. And again, that was feedsentinel.com/trusted. And you can learn more about Sentinel Horse Feed and ask questions and do a feed finder. So thank you so much, Kristen, for coming on the show and sharing this with us. It's really important information, and I'm glad I heard it personally.
Thank you, Allison.
Equine Affair is coming back to Massachusetts on November 6th through the 9th, 2025. Fantasia returns on November 6th, 7th, and 8th, sponsored by Myrie Equine Clinic. Tickets for both events will go on sale July 9th. You can purchase them via equineaffair.com or through the Western Edge mobile app, so get your tickets early.
And of course, you can find out about everything Equine Affair at equineaffair.com. Also, you can get this particular podcast, yes, as part of Horses in the Morning, but you can get it as a standalone podcast on your podcast player. Just search for Equine Affair. You'll find it there, and you can go back and listen to all the past Equine Affair episodes without all the other Horses in the Morning episodes. Jamie will be coming to us tomorrow morning from Flag Is Up Farm in California. So she'll be recording from there tomorrow morning over at Monty Roberts' place. And, of course, we'll be doing some bad ads and all of that stuff. Well, thanks again, Allison, for another fun episode this month. And we'll see you again next month. Equine Affair is here the third Thursday of every month.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys at Equine Affair.